Thank you, guys, for leading us so well into the Father's presence. I just wanted to stay there. There's something about just lingering in his presence, isn't there? And my prayer is that we would kind of consciously do that, that we would stay in that place of being in his presence, drawing close to him, and hearing what Father has to say to us. Friends, we're on a journey together. We're always on a journey together. But this part of our journey, we've been talking about it as elders. We've been talking about it here in church as well, that there's a sense that God is renewing something among us. And we talk about this journey as being about rediscovering true intimacy with the Father, about really learning what it means to connect with him deeply. The psalmist writes about deep speaking to deep. And there's a sense in which that's what God wants for us, wants us to know that he's our Father and that he cares for us, that he loves us. Many of us, me included, have dubious experiences of earthly Father. But our Heavenly Father loves us and cares for us and longs for us to draw close to him and to receive from him a kind of pure love, a pure grace. It's in family that we're supposed to understand who we are and figure out who we are and learn what is good about us and learn how the world works and have that built-up sense of identity. And some of us didn't get that at home, but here's the great thing. God in his grace and in his mercy longs for us in our relationship with him to draw closer to him so we can hear what he's got to say about those things. To become who he had always dreamed we could be. We long as a church to draw closer and closer to him, to have real intimacy with him, to know that he is for us. And it's why he came as Jesus into the world. Why he died on the cross in our place. Not so that he could tell us off. Not so that he could push us further away. Not so that he could apportion blame. Jesus took all of the blame. It was so that he could be Father again. You know, I love my kids with a love that is fierce and sometimes scary. If somebody took my kids from me, I'd come over all Liam Neeson. I will find you. And the Father has this fierce love for us. So great a love that even death itself is what he's prepared to surrender himself to in order that we can become family again. So this first part of our journey is about getting close to Jesus. And it's not about come and get religious. It's not about come and obey a set of rules. It's not about come and make a bunch of sacrifices. It's about intimacy with him and knowing what it is to be loved and to love. And then the second part of that is flowing out of that intimacy, flowing out of that place of really knowing him comes our intercession. It's not that he ignores the stuff that's going on in our lives. Flowing out of who we are when we're in relationship with him comes this worship, comes this prayer, comes this relationship built on communication in which we speak to him and we worship him and he speaks to us and he directs our lives. And so we kind of have this movement of we get closer to him. And as we get closer to him, we discover that we can come to him and bring to him all that's going on in our lives and that he cares and he has some direction for all of that stuff. And in that place of encountering him and intercession and speaking and being with him, he leads us and he guides us. And then there's this next step, which is that we live our lives out of those things. The way we live our lives in this world is profoundly impacted by the fact that we have a Father who loves us and cares for us. A Father who is seeking to bring direction and speak his will and his purposes and hears us with our concerns. We walk into this world as different people. When we step out of this building and on Monday morning when we step out of our homes into whatever it is we're going to be doing, we're different from everybody else. You know, when Moses was about to step into the promised land, he had a heart-to-heart with God. They had some one-to-one time. And he said, God, who are you going to send with us into this promised land? And God said, I myself will go with you. And Moses said, God, don't send us from this place unless you go with us, because it's only your presence with us that makes us different from all the other peoples on the earth. And friends, when we leave this place and when we step into all that God has for us on a Monday morning, Tuesday morning, all the way through the week, we don't do it like everybody else. We do it as those who have God with us. That's what sets us apart. I mean, if all you did was this was your club and this is what you did on Sunday and you had a few religious kind of experiences and you did a few religious things, well then, you know, you'd have something to talk about with somebody else who was in a club on a Monday morning too. And maybe their club was the Rotarians or, I don't know, butterfly catching, whatever it is that's good. You know, those are good things. It's fun to do, but, you know, it doesn't change who we are. And so we want to be those people who live in this revelation of the Father's intimacy and that he has something to say about the way we live our lives. So we live differently in the world. Now, last week we began this series and we were thinking about, and I just introduced it, so if you weren't here, don't worry, you didn't miss too much, but listen to it online because it was a great 15 minutes and I kind of came away from that thinking, I should do this more often, you know. Jenny, I think what we came up with is a smart scheme, and don't be surprised if it does happen again, that we change the way that we see and that I just speak for 15 minutes and then you talk about it for 10 minutes after. I think that's we did a great time. But in that, I talked about that passage in Colossians chapter 1 where it talks about everything that has ever been created being made by Jesus and for him. And so everything that exists finds its meaning and its purpose in him. And so we're going to be thinking about different areas of our lives where we need to be mindful that we can steward what God has given us in such a way that it finds its meaning and its purpose in him. If you like, what does it mean for us to live in certain areas of our lives in the knowledge of the intimacy of the Father and flowing out of that our relationship with him, our conversation, his leadership, and his direction? And today we're going to be thinking about stewarding, because all we can do is stewarding our time from Ephesians chapter 5. Did you just put up the five things, or is that the first time it's gone on? I don't know, that's good. I just turned as it moves, and I thought, oh no, you've seen the five things. There's a lady called, and I'm just going to check, because I don't want to get her name wrong. Bonnie Ware. Bronnie. See, I did get it wrong. I think I have to check. Bronnie Ware. And she was a nurse in Australia. And for 12 years, she worked in palliative care, which is the care of people who are coming towards the end of their lives. And so she wrote this blog, and in this blog, she included lessons that she was learning as she cared for the dying. And from that, Bronnie Ware wrote a book called The Five Lessons from the Dying. You can put that slide up, please, Rachel, that'd be great. And she, after listening to their conversations, came up with this list of the top five things that people who were dying, the top five regrets they had. And the number five regret was, I wish I'd let myself be happier. Isn't that interesting? That I'd let myself be happier. The fourth was, I wish I'd stayed in touch with friends. How many of you are kind of keying into that already? This was, I wish I'd dared to express my emotions more. And often this was about, I wish I'd told somebody that I loved them. A lot of people wish they'd told a parent or a child or a sibling. Look at this, number two. Like, this is towards the top of our chart. I wish I'd not worked so hard. Life spent in work. But the number one was, I wish I'd lived with more courage. I wish I'd been more daring. I wish I'd taken more chances. And this was people at the end of their lives reflecting. Now, I share this with you because, friends, we don't know how long we've got. Just a few weeks after we got here, you very graciously and lovingly walked with us through a family difficulty, and my brother, at age 48, suddenly died. And that just brought home to us as a whole family that none of us have a clue. I mean, there was no warning with Andrew, nothing. He just had a massive heart attack and went. None of us know how much time we have. This was the reflections of people in their 80s and their 90s reflecting over the whole of their life. Here's the question. When we get to 80 or 90, what's going to be on your list? What's going to be on your list? I'm amazed that there's a couple of these that I think speak to this whole thing. I wish I had not worked so hard. A question about how much time we spent in the office compared to the rest of life and what made sense. Or I wish I'd lived with more courage, the things that I do with my time. Maybe it would be, I wish I had had that brake check done. Just, you know, as we're getting towards the end, I don't know. I don't know what's on your list. I wish I'd eaten more different foods from around the world. I wish I'd traveled more. Now, these weren't believers, and if we start to put that into the mix, we might add some others. I wonder if we were to do this poll amongst older Christians, I wish I'd dared to tell more people about Jesus. I wonder what the areas of trusting God would appear in there for us as Christians. The reason I raise this, the reason I share this with you, is to underline this point. You and I have got how many lives? Just one. Just one. We've got this time, 168 hours a week. That's all there is. 168 hours a week. But God has given it to us because everything was created by Him and everything was created for Him. And in Him, it all finds its meaning and its purpose. If we want to have the best 168 weeks a year, hours a week, the most meaningful, the life that has the fewest regrets, then I want to suggest that we need to find ways, we need to be mindful of the fact that each of those hours has to find its meaning and its purpose in Him. It has to. If it's just us, we're going to end up with a list like this. And if we let somebody else set that priority for us, we are certain to create a list like this. So we have this one life, and the invitation from Jesus to us today is to think about our time and the hours that we have and to recognize all we can do is steward that time. I once got a real telling off at university, and the reason was I'd had to ask for an extension on an essay. And it was a lecturer who didn't really like giving extensions on essays. She was a bit harsh. Not everybody enforced the rule, but at my university, if you had to ask for an extension, then the best you could get was a C, which is like a 2-2 grade. That's the best you could get if you'd had to ask for an extension. And she always enforced the rule. And she said to me one time when I asked her for an extension, "Jonathan, why do you need this extension? You've had ages to do this work." And it was true, I had ages. And I just said to her, "Oh, I'm really bad at managing time." And she said to me, "Jonathan, the reason you're bad at managing time is because you can't manage time. All you can do is manage yourself. All you can do is manage yourself in the context of time." And friends, it's a lesson we need to learn that time is one of the things that God has given us, and we don't know how much we have. So the best thing we can do with it is learn to steward it well. It's not ours, it's His. He created it. What He's done is He's placed it in our hands and given us choices about how we use it. Now, this series has got like a major potential for making us all feel guilty, including me. We're going to be thinking about areas of our lives, and there's a real potential in that series for us to go out of this door thinking, "I'm not doing enough, I'm not praying enough, I'm not taking life seriously enough, I'm not giving enough." If that happens, then I've failed, not the Spirit of God. If you walk out of here with any sense of condemnation, then that's me, that's not God. If any of us feel a bit of gentle conviction or even a bit of harsh conviction, we need to listen to that. But if it's condemnation, that's my fault and I'm sorry. My aim here is not to beat you up about how you spend your time, because I need to beat myself up too, and that's too easy. Instead, I want us to see that Father wants to connect with us intimately, that He loves us, that He has a plan and a purpose for us. And as we spend time with Him in prayer and in worship and in listening intently to Him and seeking the grace to be obedient to Him, what we find is the way that we live our lives in the context of time changes. Now, Paul gives us some really helpful guidance here, and I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, just turn your Bibles on or turn to it. We're going to start reading from verse 15. No, let's read from verse 8, sorry. Let's read from verse 8. Partly because that's the whole passage and it's what's on the screen behind me, isn't it? I just realised, yeah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why it's said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says here. It's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say, you were in darkness and now you are in light. He does say that elsewhere, but in this passage, he doesn't say you were in darkness. He says you were darkness. That's what you were part of. Once upon a time in our lives, when we're born, up until the time when we decide to become followers of Jesus and set our face on following him, we were in darkness and we were darkness. That's who we were. We were part of that. And Paul says this change that's happened to us now is not just that we're in the light, but we're part of that light. We're not just reflecting light from somewhere else, but we get to be the light in the places where God has placed us. And here Paul gives us the kind of guidance that we need to make the most of our lives and to live well in time. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. If we're bothered about living our lives and stewarding our time well, here's the first thing we need to do. Step one, figure out what pleases the Lord. Figure out what pleases the Lord. And we do that through a whole bunch of ways. If we're reading our scripture, we're giving space and time for God to speak to us directly through the Bible. If we're using our time to pray and to listen, and then we're giving God space in our lives to speak to us from his spirit to our spirit, like deep calling unto deep. If we live our lives in a conscious way, in a way of walking through this world, aware of what's happening around us and expecting to see God moving around us, and then we will find God's leading and his purpose in our lives. I shared last week a story of living differently, of living priests, and of how God used me that time at the petrol station. But if you listen to Premier Christian Radio at the start of the week and I was interviewed, there was a part of that story that I didn't get to share because we just ran out of time. And I shared how as a young man, I was on my way to have a firework fight and we saw this church thing happening and we were going to disrupt it. And a guy came and shared a gospel message and that turned my life upside down. That's the glorious bit. That's the upfront, hallelujah, praise the Lord, what a wonderful testimony bit. But last week, the week before, over in Holmesdale, I got to share the other part of that story, the unseen, the hidden bit, the bit that Alma was involved with. Alma, a lady who by then would have been in her 70s, I guess, who'd been in the bus station that day, but was a woman of a very different spirit, who'd seen some graffiti on the wall, a list of names and tags, and knowing that she was going to be in a prayer meeting later, and living this life differently and looking for the signs of God at work around her, instead of doing what I confess I might be tempted to do now that I'm approaching 50. Oh, that's the first time I've said it out loud. 47, I guess I'm approaching 50. I might have gone, kids. look at this. Alma gets out a notepad and a pen and starts to write down this list of names so that when she goes to that prayer meeting later, they sing a song, they say, what are we going to pray about? It was Halloween, it was like an anti-Halloween prayer meeting, and praying for the young people in Beverly, the town I came from. Alma says, I was in the bus station earlier and I saw this list of names. And so she gets out the names and she reads them out and they pray about these young people. Then they begin to sing a song, and then there's a bit of a kerfuffle at the back of church as this group of young people arrive. You know Jesus well enough to know that there was a link between those two things. And that's how I became a follower of Jesus. Somebody prayed for my graffitied name on a bus station. Why? Because our times are in his hands, and sometimes we take it really seriously that we are to seek God's will and figure out what pleases him, to live in a different way, to find those opportunities. Find out what it is that pleases the Lord. Make that conscious decision. God, I want to use my time and my life in a way that pleases you, in a way that sees your kingdom come. Say it out loud to him. Live every day like you mean it. This is your time. I want to find out what pleases you. Lord, give me the grace then to do it. Not only am I going to turn towards the Lord and say, Lord, I want to follow you and I want you to reveal it. The second part here, Paul tells us then, is to avoid something else. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. There's two choices. I'm going to orient my life towards Jesus and living his way, and I am definitely going to be turning my back on the stuff that makes for darkness, for that part of my life that he's called to die once and for all. We can't have it both ways. We can't serve two masters. But this is about having intimacy with a Father who loves us and made us and knows what's best. About relating to him, worshiping him, praying, listening for his leadership and his guidance, and then living differently. And friends, this living differently means we've got to cut ourselves off from the old way of living. We've got to cut ourselves off from the darkness. He gives some examples. We don't need to go over those examples. But instead, what Paul calls us to do in this passage is to live in the opposite spirit to the way that we used to. So we used to just do what pleases us. I'm going to live for what gives me pleasure. I'm going to live for what feels good right now. I'm going to live for what I think will give me kudos or a greater reputation or more money or whatever it might be. I'm going to live for that. Paul says, just live in the opposite spirit. Don't go getting drunk on wine. Don't lose control of yourself. Don't give yourself up so that you lose time in a blur. Instead, follow hard after God. Get filled with his spirit instead and be completely empowered to live for him in this world. Be completely equipped and released to do what he wants you to do. Don't make yourself useless by drinking. Make yourself useful by drawing upon the reserves of God's spirit. Live in a different spirit. Figure out what it is God wants. Turn our backs on what we know belongs to darkness. Live in the opposite spirit, committing ourselves into his hands. Just before we pray together. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I'm speaking now especially to our younger people, the writer says these words. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I've already confessed to approaching 50. Here's my second confession. I don't think I'm youth anymore. I had this friend who was 2 years older than me, and up until I was 40 and he was 42, he was still a leader in something called the Younger Leaders Forum, and I thought, that's great. If Adam is still in the Younger Leaders Forum and he's 42, that makes me a young leader. But I finally confess I'm not youth. And so this verse isn't for me. But young people here today, This is a verse that is for you. Hear it. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, I know that some of us have got family members and young people who are, as a friend of mine, Gavin, uses this phrase. He talks about they're working on their testimony. You know, we have family who are working on their testimony. Here's the truth. I wish I had a very different testimony. I wish my testimony was not, I did all this horrible stuff and then Jesus found me. I have this beautiful friend, Nora. Her testimony begins, I've never known a time in my life when I didn't know God was with me. I wish I had that testimony. I wish I hadn't wasted years. I wish I hadn't hurt people. I wish I hadn't done things that got me into trouble I should never have got into. I wish I hadn't. Hear the word of the Lord to you. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Imagine what it would be like to have a testimony that says, from the time when I could really express my decisions were to follow him and please him. Imagine getting to heaven and hearing your name shouted out. Here's Nicole, serving Jesus from the days of her youth. Here's Sophia, leading worship from as soon as she was able to grab a microphone. Here's Samuel, preaching God's word. Imagine that. Imagine getting there and saying, hearing him say, praise God, you had 60, 70, 80 years of service. Not, wow, you made it in the end. Those were a good few last 5 minutes of your life, weren't they? We don't know how much time we have, so let's get serious about our lives right now. My brother dying shocked us. It could happen to anybody. And I'm not using that as like the scare tactic. You might walk out of this building, get hit by a bus, and where would you be then? But the truth is, we don't know. So when is it time to get serious? When is it time to say, God, I'm going to live your way? I'm going to start stewarding the hours, the time that I have in a way that shows I'm living differently. I'm not like everybody else. Your presence is with me, and that's what sets me apart from all of the peoples on the earth. I am going to live my life in the light of the fact that there is a Father who fiercely loves me, who will do anything for me, who longs for me to live a different way. I'm going to live my life in the fact that I am not drifting around aimlessly, but there is a God who I can turn to, who brings leadership and guidance into my life. And a God whose desire is that I have the fullest life possible. An abundant life. So I'm going to live differently. On Monday morning when I step out my door, I'm not like everybody else. I'm his child. I'm following his leadership. And I'm going to live his way. Let's pray. Father, it's not our time. It's your time. And all we can do is steward it. All we can do is try and arrange it, manage ourselves in the context of it, to say that it's yours, and to seek your kingdom coming into our lives. And so, Father, we come to you afresh this morning. And I just want to give you a moment. It may well be that you're here, and it's never been a time in your life when you have said, okay, God, if you have a plan for my life, if you want to lead my life and give me the best life, then I want to follow your way. I don't know what that looks like, but today I just need to say to you, God, okay, I want to do it your way. Maybe that's you this morning. I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than just to note that moment. In the moment we're going to pray, and it may be that for the first time in your life, you're going to say amen to Jesus and really mean it. Maybe for some of us there is a challenge, and we recognize that we've been drawn away by a whole bunch of things. And so seeking God's time, well, Jonathan, it's just too easy to make us feel guilty. That's not what we want. What we do want is to hear God speaking to us and bringing his direction into our lives. We say, God, today, I want to find out what will please you and live for you. Maybe that we're getting towards the end of life and we have lots of regrets. Maybe even now we want to give those to God and say, Lord, whatever time is left, it's yours. In a way that it hasn't been before, I'm dedicating my time afresh to you. Let's pray together. Father, would you come by your Spirit? Father, thank you that even though once we were darkness, now we are light. And now we're able to live this different way. Thank you that you are with us. That you don't tell us to go and try and do this in our own strength, as if we possibly could. But that it is your presence with us that sets us apart. It is your presence with us that makes us different from all other peoples. Father, I pray for our young people today that hear that word, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, that as they commit their days, even now, in the choices they're making about the lives they're going to lead, as they commit themselves into your hands, that they would have an end of life testimony which is of richness, of goodness, of prosperity, and of abundance, and of joy, and of peace, and of power, and of healings, and deliverance, and miracles, and signs and wonders, Jesus. From the earliest of days, because they trusted in you with their lives. And Lord, there's some of us here today who, for the first time, or again because we've drifted away, we need to say it again. God, I want to live with you as my Father in my life. I don't know what that means fully, but I want you to be the Father in my life. I want to know your love and your care for me. And I want to know what it is to live in a way that pleases you. Maybe just in your own heart, if that's the first time, or you need to say it again because it's been a while, you just want to say to God, Amen, that's me. And Lord, for all of us, we come afresh and say, would you help us by your Spirit, lead us and guide us as you promised to find the life that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.